Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Save up to $450 on a Gibson Les Paul Studio Deluxe, up to $900 on a Gibson Les Paul Trad Pro 4, or save up to 20% on other select Gibson guitars. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, and if you want to advertise with us or have questions you want us to answer on the show, make sure you email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken, with me as always, Cody Westerland. Cody, we're starting to figure out the rotation. It's all coming together week before the season.
Fred Hoiberg wants to go 10 deep is his ideal strategy. I think that's normal. Most teams go 9 or 10 deep. No reason for the Bulls with so many young players on the team and so many people they need to see prove themselves not to go 10 deep. And besides, like, everyone on the Bulls has a little bit of hope and has proven nothing and has weaknesses here and some strengths there. On many cases, more weaknesses than strengths, as we'll find out this season. But 10 guys, let's go through it. I think we've already hit on the starting lineup previously, but assuming your boy Paul Zipser is healthy with that back issue, which he says just needs a little tending to, so he took a couple days off, should be good to go.
Today at practice, it sounds like he's going to be playing.
Yeah, so he'll start on the wing. Justin Holiday will start on the wing. With Chris Dunn out at least another week, two or three, with that open dislocation of the finger. He will not be playing, obviously, so Jaren Grant will get the start. And then Robin Lopez and Nico Mirotic. So there's your starting five. Behind them, we kind of parsed this out at practice today. Fred Hoiberg didn't give everything away, but he said 10. And then he confirmed that Ryan Arcidiacono will be the backup point guard on opening night, which we can go through all these guys again quickly. But David Nwaba will probably be a backup on the wing. We know Denzel Valentine will be a backup on the wing. And then
the backups, front court's a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, because they're, if he says 10 people, that means a starting five and a second five, and there's two big man spots on the second five, and that's between Chris Felicio, Bobby Portis, and Lauri Markkanen. And I'm going to go out right now and say I think Lowry's in the rotation to start in some form on opening night. I don't know how the Chris and Bobby thing plays out, but I think one of them, they might play 11, but one of them only gets a couple minutes, and it's more like the 10 guys that get at least 8 or 12 minutes will be either Chris or Bobby. Do you have a read on that?
I think it's going to start out being Bobby and Lowry.
Okay.
As the ones in the rotation, because, I mean, again, those are, like, their two guys who are, you know, the first-round picks more recently.
Yeah.
So those are going to be guys they want to give minutes to. I think eventually Bobby is going to maybe fall out of the rotation a little bit. I haven't. I feel like out of the guys who are actually going to be in the rotation, I feel like he's had the worst preseason.
Yeah, he had 8 turnovers the other night, which is remarkable when you're not a point guard and you're not a big man being thrown the ball in every play as the fulcrum of the offense on the block or something. Did shoot better, but he's the one who shot just shy of 40%, I think, in the preseason. It was a really choppy preseason for him, it felt like. And like you point out, like, there's more investment in him as a 2015 first-round pick at this point, and the Bulls still wanting him to be something. So I wouldn't be surprised either if that's the case. It is interesting that Fred said post-game the other night, I believe it was Friday night, after their final preseason game, he likes Chris Felicio and Lauri Markkanen playing together. Now, you could probably ask Fred any pairing, anything about two people being on the floor at the same time, and he will find a way to say, I like them in this sense. You know what I mean? I like what they do here. So him saying that doesn't mean that pairing doesn't have deficiencies with Lowry and Chris, which one would be some rim protection, but that's going to be the whole team. Especially, you can't put anyone out there once Robin Lopez is on the bench that can protect the rim. So I don't know how worked up you get about rim protection between anyone once Robin's not in a pairing. So I can see that, though, because Chris can do the dive to the rim off the pick and roll and hit the lob and dunk. Lowry can stretch the defense. But at the same time, Chris isn't a big man who is just going to take possessions or anything on the low block. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he's a guy more of a board crasher, a screen setter, and a dive to the rim for oop type of player. I love that description too. Just like
dive to the rim for oop.
Yeah. Like 17 hyphens on there describing what Chris Felicio does offensively. So all those things like complement what Lowry does. If Chris sets the screen, that's good because Lowry might be coming off the screen. You know what I mean? He might be spotting up. Lowry Markkanen, one of the things the Bulls liked about him coming out of Arizona was not just his pure shooting stroke, which they love and might be one of the few shooting strokes on the team that they won't tweak or adjust or tell him what to do. They're just going to let him shoot because he actually knows how to do that. They liked how he put the ball on the floor, though. And Chris isn't going to be using those possessions. And it's not like he's going to be posting up on the block being like, feed me the ball. You know, he's not going to be in the way.
Right.
You know, because he's setting a screen somewhere else or he's waiting for the shot to go up after Lowry beats someone off the dribble and then he's crashing the board. So that's where I see that pairing making sense. And, I mean, you might have even been the one that asked the question about that the other night or about Markkanen that kind of elicited that answer. And I do think long-term projection, that's probably what happens with the backup big man pairing down low until Robin Lopez gets traded and later in the season and they have to change things.
Right, at some point, yeah. So I think you're right. I think that the Felicio and Markkanen pairing makes the most sense.
Just won't see it a lot.
I just don't think we'll see it a lot at first. I think they're going to want to give Bobby the chance to get out there and prove that he should be in the rotation. And then Markkanen, I think, has kind of shown enough in those first three games, or those three games that he did play in the preseason, too.
Yeah, and we need to point out that Fred was asked about where Denzel Valentine fits in on the second unit. And
yeah, he made
a point to say they like Denzel coming off ball screens rather than setting up and initiating the offense, which is a clear signal that the Denzel Valentine as backup point guard or major point guard minutes experiment is dead, probably.
That's why we're talking about Ryan Arcidiacono, who's on a two-way contract, getting pretty significant minutes early on, basically until Chris Dunn gets back. Which...
I got nothing against Arch. It's just...
the other night on Press Row.
It's just... He doesn't do anything that a decent high school basketball player, a decent basketball player who graduates high school and goes off to a four-year university to be a student only, he doesn't do anything that person can't already do except make wide-open three-pointers at a higher clip. And look, he's a national championship point guard, was a phenomenal
college player. He had a game-winning assist.
He did have a game-winning assist. Smart basketball player. But at this level in the NBA, he dribbles the ball up the court and he passes to the wing. That's all he does. That is it. That's everything in a nutshell about what Ryan Arcidiacono can do. And my takes were set off. I was a little perturbed that Antonio Blakeney didn't get more run in preseason. I didn't like how...
Is Locked On Bulls an official podcast of Antonio Blakeney Island now in addition to Jaren Grant Island?
Yeah, fun fact about him. Fun fact, Antonio, been living out of a hotel.
That's true. He told us that.
This is the G League life. You don't know what's coming next. So, until October 23rd, when the G League season training camp starts, Antonio Blakeney and Ryan Arcidiacono can hang out with the Bulls because their clock toward 45-day, that limit in the NBA, doesn't start until the G League season starts. So, Blakeney living out of a hotel. I think he should be living on the court a little more in exhibition games, getting a little more run, playing through mistakes. He's not a point guard, I guess. That's Fred's point. Like, Fred likes how, on the second unit, as a backup point guard, when Chris Dunn is out, that Arcidiacono can run the offense well. And if they gave the ball to Antonio Blakeney, well, first of all, he probably doesn't handle the ball as well as Arcidiacono, which is a vital thing for a point guard. But I'll point out, the Bulls pretty much all stink at dribbling. They really do. Like, Chris Dunn was having loose handles, struggling to get the ball up the court with pressure in the preseason before he got hurt. The same has been true for Arcidiacono a little bit when you really get into him and pressure. Denzel Valentine didn't have enough reps at that, but Like, he's not a brilliant dribbling wizard or
anything. Who has the best handles on the Bulls? Is it Justin Holiday?
It might be. Like, that's a good question. I don't know.
Is there a player on the team that has good handles?
Not really.
I don't think so.
No.
No.
You know, Jimmy Butler got really good at that the last couple years. He would never end up on a highlight tape for it, but that second to last season when he was in Chicago, he made a point to run. The final year when Derrick Rose was point guard, Jimmy made more of an effort to be a point guard just to point out that he was a better point guard than Derrick Rose was at point guard, in addition to being a better basketball player and two-way player. Like, Jimmy would revel in that and point out that point guard's not that hard. I'll show you how it's done. Like, that stuff is just some all-timer stuff in Jimmy's file.
We're going to miss, I mean, there were a lot of headaches that came with the whole Rose-Butler thing, but I miss the shade so much.
You do. Well, I mean, it was pretty much one-way shade because Derek was much more professional.
There's going to be a lot less stuff Jimmy to write about and talk about this season.
Yes. Derek had the best handles, no doubt, obviously, the entire time he was there. Brilliant. Jimmy, last year, really good at it. Yeah, there is not a bull on this team. I can't see a Chicago Bull breaking an ankle of a defender until at least Luka Doncic gets here. There's no chance. Did you see the highlight video of Luka Doncic?
I did see
actually not breaking a guy's ankle, but having his shoe fall off trying to guard him. Because he had him like doing the splits and on ice and his shoes falling off and the guy's falling over.
And I think the Bulls saw that too, probably.
Another fun fact, Paul Zipser at practice today called Luka Doncic a special player. He played against him a few times. Dating back to his days in Germany, playing in Europe. And then my favorite cryptic line of the day, just great. And it was to the point where I didn't want to ask the follow-up question because I didn't want him to ruin it with what's 99.9% of the truth. But he said, I look forward to seeing Luka next year. I assume Paul Zipser meant I look forward to seeing him in the NBA. We will cross paths. When he gets here, he's going to be great. Everyone will know him. I'll give him some love. But I like to think that Paul Zipser knows something in the front office.
Is he calling the shot?
I like to think that Paul Zipser's in there in the front office meetings walking in and be like, hey guys, look, I know this season's about the tank. Gotta tell you, I got first-hand experience playing Luka Doncic. We really need to draft him, Gar. And Gar and John Paxson sitting there going, all right, yeah, he's got the Paul Zipser seal of approval. Let's do it.
LeBron always has like input into like roster moves that the Cavs make. You know, different guys have input into different things. Like, you know, Damian Lillard like recruiting guys in free agency.
Paul Zipser.
Are we talking like we have all the GM LeBron stuff? Is there GM Paul Zipser? Is that what's going on? Is this our new conspiracy theory?
We're gonna have to snuff this out some point in this season. Like, I think it'd be too early. It'd be a little too hot to go in hard on that now. Like, let's play it out. Let's see some of the decisions they make. Like, the Bulls are making roster decisions, playing time, moves, stuff like that, that looks like it has Paul Zipser's guiding hand from afar behind it. Then we'll go in on this, maybe. But that's a great conspiracy theory.
It's possible. I mean,
carry throughout the season. And
GM Zipser.
And as you do with any good conspiracy theory, you put all the evidence that points toward it right here on our desk, right here in a big file, and you ignore all the other logic, everything else that tells you that theory's awful. Just ignore everything else. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, if you say no, that's ridiculous. There's no way Paul Zipser. Well, who knows? Maybe it's hard to say.
Look at all that. Look at this evidence.
We just say. Really? I mean, he might have just tipped his hand at practice today.
Oh, that's gonna be great when they actually do draft Luka Doncic like number two overall, and we can be like,
we're gonna go back to that day.
That when Paul Zipser said he can't wait till he sees him next year. Yeah, he met here at the Advocate Center right away. But we're supposed to get back to this playing time. Oh, the Archie Diacono thing. Yeah, I'm thoroughly unimpressed.
Like, you're not on Ryan Archie Diacono Island.
Look, if he's going to be the backup point guard for the first 2-3 weeks of the season here, and he'll be it for the first week at least, they can maybe use another week to get Chris Dunn healthy and use 7 of his 45 days on the G League clock with the two-way contract. Look, they're doing Yeaman's work there to getting off to that 2-8, 2-18 or 3-17 start that I predicted if he like is playing 14 minutes a game.
Well, did you see the Kawhi?
He's going to get eaten alive.
Did you see that Kawhi Leonard isn't going to play in the Spurs opener? So that means there's a chance he might not play in the game against the Bulls on Saturday.
Which means the Spurs will win by 22 instead of 32. That doesn't affect my early season losing streak prediction.
It doesn't affect it?
No, I'm leaning into this one. I know the Bulls went 3-3 in the preseason. I know they looked really good for stretches. Like, they looked like they knew what they were doing offensively. When I say really good, like, they really looked like they knew what they were doing.
They're playing white ball.
And some of the time, like, the three-pointers were falling and they looked brilliant within this. I'm still leaning into that. They're going to be awful early on, prediction, with no Chris Dunn, with no Zach LaVine, with no defense, with Start Ryan Arcidiakono playing. Are we talking double-digit minutes?
I think it's possible.
Remember, I asked Jaren Grant, hey, yo, are you ready to play 40 or 42 minutes tonight? And he said, yeah. And then I came back on the podcast and said, he's ready to play that. There's no way Jaren's trotting out there for Jimmy Butler minutes, though. But if Denzel's not playing backup point guard, and Fred made that seem pretty clear today, that means Ryan Arcidiakono might be playing 12 minutes a game.
Yeah, it's certainly possible.
Start the tank.
I think they're going to start the season 1-4.
Who are they going to beat? They play the Hawks early?
Right? The Cleveland Cavaliers. Go back to my bold prediction.
Don't they play the Hawks early too?
Yeah, they do.
That's
an important tank.
That's a crucial game. Because those two teams are probably going to both be in the low 20s and wins late in the season. And that could be a flip. That's a two-game swing, the winner and loser there. You know what I mean? So, circle your calendar for like the second week of Bulls basketball. The Hawks in town, I think, something like that, early in the season. Huge game in the Luka Doncic sweepstakes that Paul Zipser is overseeing. David Nwaba on the wing, though, it seems like, Fred didn't say his name specifically.
But he was practicing with the second unit.
But he was, he was running around the second unit. He's been playing with the second unit. Like, it makes sense, you know. Fred made clear he, too, is not a point guard, so that puts him on the wing. So him and Denzel, it seems like, backing up on the wing. We hit on the big man stuff. As soon as Chris Dunn comes back, he might, if Jaren Grant's playing poorly and Dunn plays well in practice, he might slide in right away as a starting point guard. If Jaren Grant is playing well, Chris Dunn will probably slide in as the backup point guard, I would assume. And, of course, all of this is without Zach LaVine, the Bulls' best player, who we need to talk about. Important extension deadline.
Tomorrow.
Date looming. Explain it to him, Sean.
So, by midnight tomorrow, or 11 p.m. Central.
Monday.
16th of October.
Yep.
The Bulls and Zach LaVine have until then to reach an agreement on an extension of his rookie contract, or else he'll be a restricted free agent next summer. I think if we were betting on this, we think it's probably not going to happen.
Yes, that's correct. Expectations and indications from both sides of this are that this deal won't get done by the deadline, but it will get done next summer in restricted free agency.
Right. I think it's probably the best thing for both sides to wait it out, see how he looks in his... Because if he comes back and plays really well and then he wants a max contract, they'll be happy to give him one because he's worth it and because they have so much cap space. But if he has another injury or he has a setback or he comes back from this injury and he's not as good as he was before the injury... Then maybe they will be able to say, okay, you know, we're not gonna
max you out.
And so, I don't know. I think it just makes sense to wait. He's gonna be in Chicago long term, regardless.
Look, I mean, Zach LaVine. You have to look at it through this prism too. He was the centerpiece of a Jimmy Butler trade. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Who was a top 10 player in the NBA? He is now the highest profile player in the third biggest market in the country. In a city that loves its basketball. That's a big deal. I know this team's going to be awful and the rebuild's going to be ugly for several years, maybe half of a decade, but that standing and stature is such that when you're turned to as the primary offensive option, a guy who's going to have the ability to score probably 25 points a game, I'm not saying he'll average that, but with the way the rest of this Bulls offense shakes out, and given his offensive talents in comparison to the rest of them in a quick system with Hoiberg, like, he's looking at this and projecting it, you know, like, look what they gave up for me. Look at the cap space they do have. Look at how many points I'm averaging. Now, I don't think a player and his agent ever goes into a negotiation thinking, like, oh, I don't deserve the max because of my defensive deficiencies.
Right.
You know what I mean? He has not proved to be a good defender.
They're going to pull out the positives. They're going to pull out all the positives.
Yes. So he's going to look at that stat sheet that he's going to fill up and just what the Bulls gave up for him. And his standing as the go-to basketball player in this city in a big market and just being in the spotlight and the responsibility that comes with that. And he's going to think, like, the max is possible, you know? And I don't think Monday night, I think Zach LaVine and his agent are smart enough that Monday night they can't walk in and be like, we need a max deal tonight. Like, they're realistic and reasonable
right.
in that regard. Like, he was a, the last time we saw him on a basketball court, he was a number three option.
Well, if he was only trying to get the max deal, then, like, that would make absolutely no sense. The only way it would make sense to do an extension is if he's willing to give him a discount now.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the flip side of the point there. If Zach LaVine, if the Bulls are perfectly content with him getting a max contract, they can just match an offer sheet from a team next year that gives them a max contract, or proactively just give it to him on the first day of free agency. There's no reason for them to even give him like a near max deal.
And even if
like,
they,
wasn't Giannis's deal like a near max deal?
It was
like
close. It was a little
four
bit,
and 101 or two.
It was a little bit below. So was CJ McCollum's deal. So was Rudy Gobert's deal.
There's not even a reason for them to really do that yet. You know what were you gonna say though?
But I mean, it's one of those things where like, you know, if he's gonna get the max, like he'll get the max then. Like they don't need to do it now.
No, they don't. And again, the Bulls have zero concerns about restricted free agency. The team always
even if they give him a max
in restricted free agency.
Even if they give him a max, like they have such little other salary on the books that it's not going to affect them at all.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, well, with the salary cap tightening a little bit and not jumping as much as projected and probably staying a little more stagnant in years to come, there's still great value. Certainly they have plenty of room. But there is still great value in saving $3 million a year still. You know what I mean? Because you add up some of these things, and maybe that's the difference for giving another guy a max a year from then or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. This wasn't in the last couple summers. It wasn't such a big deal. Even summer 2014 when teams were a little, or 2015 when they were a little more cash strapped. Like, they were looking toward 2016 to be like, oh, the influx of cap space and money will make these problems go away. It won't be a problem. Well, ask the Lakers, you know. They had to give up D'Angelo Russell.
To get off that Mozgov deal.
Yeah, and they're going to have to give up, they might have to give up Brandon Ingram to get off the Luol Deng contract.
Or Larry Nance or somebody, one of their young guys.
Yeah, I mean, they don't want to give up Brandon Ingram, but if the choice is between having enough cap space to sign LeBron and Paul George, the only way they can make that cap space is to get rid of Luol Deng, and in which case they might have to get rid of Brandon Ingram. You know, like, if those decisions get really hard. So the Bulls are very cognizant of that, and they deserve credit for entering next summer with a lot of cap space. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Rondo and Wade deals were awful. It set them back 2 years. It set them back this year because even if they ran it back, it would have been bad, ugly basketball. The one thing, though, is they weren't passed into another year. You know what I mean? They weren't into summer 2018. They kept those short term. The Lopez contract's a good one. The Jimmy Butler contract was a value deal, which helped flip the switch in the rebuild and get some value for him as well. Like, that was a contract the Timberwolves wanted.
And then they're going to have Markkanen on a rookie deal. They're going to have Michael Porter or Luka Doncic on a rookie deal for the next 4 years after this.
Do you think Paul Zipser, GM Paul Zipser, could like that Michael Porter on a rookie? He might veto Michael Porter getting drafted. I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, and by the way, Paul Zipser's in a really good contract. He's making basically below what the current minimum
that'll
is. That'll
actually, because he's a sec. There's so much goofiness with second round picks and contract extensions and money and rights to them.
We're seeing like Norman Powell and Josh Richardson get these big extensions.
4 and 40 and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the Paul Zipser, I mean, this is still, what, 2 years away?
Are we going to see here's bold prediction, Paul Zipser max extension?
No, I'm just saying, like, I can't even explain half the second round rookie contract stuff off the top of my head, but I'm just telling you it's really weird, and 2 years from now we might be talking about weird Paul Zipser contract extensions, because, like, I asked him today, like a year ago, I mean, not even a year ago, or more than a year ago, like, 16, 17 months ago, you weren't in the NBA, you weren't drafted yet. You're just a random no-name coming out of Germany who had proved himself there a little bit. But, like, could you have imagined being a starter on opening night in the NBA, like, 16 months from that point?
Well,
and
pretty,
he's like, I didn't really think about that, you
and,
know?
And there are always going to be pretty long odds, because not only was he a second-round pick, he was the 48th pick. Most
the foot injury?
Well, right, but most 48th picks in the draft, like, do not, like, I'll have to run a study on it, but, like, most, like, if we want to talk about how, like, lately, like, the first 10 picks of the second round are valued as, like, basically first rounder because there's not a lot of disparity between late 20s and early 30s in terms of talent. But, like, the 48th pick, most guys with a 48th pick in the draft don't do anything in the league.
Yeah, this isn't the lucrative Jordan Bell draft area.
They wouldn't have gotten
the fertile range of what 36 or 7 or
they wouldn't have gotten $3.5 million in cash considerations for the 48th pick last year to get Paul Zipser.
Would Jordan Bell be starting and be the second best player on the Bulls on opening night if he's you are just stoking the fire of that segment of the Bulls fan base that despises the front office no matter what. That's what you saying yes is just throwing gasoline on
the night of the draft when they did that trade. I predicted that Jordan Bell is going to play meaningful minutes for the Warriors in the playoffs this year, and I still believe that.
You have to make your biases clear, and that's that you're an Oregon graduate.
I am.
And he's an Oregon graduate.
But have you seen him in the preseason?
I have not watched a single minute of preseason basketball other than the Bulls.
They've been raving about him.
He has already worked his way into the rotation. He started in a preseason game when Draymond rested the other night, or I don't know if Draymond really rested.
Would you rather have him playing minutes or Bobby Portis?
Jordan Bell. I mean, that's. I think, judging by how much the Warriors wanted him.
When a team like the Warriors or the Spurs or the Rockets wants somebody that badly, that should clue somebody, other teams into, hey, maybe this guy's good.
It's bad business, though, to go around asking the defending champion Warriors who they're going to draft when they're giving you $3.5 million and then backing out of the deal and then drafting that person simply because he has the seal of approval from Bob Myers and Steve Kerr and Jerry West. I guess Jerry West is gone now, but that very respected front office. Like, that's not how you do business, you know what I mean?
Right.
You don't get the inside info on who they want to draft and then kind of hoodwink them and steal him because they wanted him and then back out of the deal that you're agreeing to. That's the thing, though. You have to remember, don't be mad at the Bulls selling that draft pick for money. Be mad that they didn't evaluate Jordan Bell well enough and did not respect his game enough that they wanted to run through a wall to draft him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like the criticism of, oh, it's just a money grab. No, the criticism should be that their talent evaluation did not show a diamond in a rough or a sleeper at that point in the second round.
Because what they said that night when we asked them about it was that they had some guys on the board that they liked, and then once those guys were off the board, they figured they'd sell a pick. And what the criticism should be is, why wasn't Jordan Bell higher on your guys' board?
Exactly. Okay. Just so, don't do the money grab. Call out their talent evaluation if Jordan Bell ends up being Rookie of the Year and then Most Improved Player and then fourth in MVP voting. Trajectory right there. There you go.
Defensive player of the year.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's a... I said third in MVP voting. Like, if you throw in rookie of the year and then throw in defensive player of the year like 3 years later and most improved somewhere in between, that's probably actually a non-zero chance of happening. You know what I mean? Whereas the MVP thing, no. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that takes care of most of the stuff. We'll keep an eye on Bulls news. That deadline, again, I believe it's late Monday night. I believe it's midnight Eastern.
So 11 Central.
So 11 Central. We'll check on that. But expect that deadline to come and go without Zach LaVine re-upping yet with the Bulls. But they will attack free agency vigorously next year and re-sign him if all goes to plan. And they hold plenty of leverage to do so. We should point out, Zach LaVine dunked at practice. Off 2 feet. Nice little easy dunk. I guess that would be an explosive, slightly unpredictable movement.
Unpredictable movement has become like the new catchphrase.
But the best is that Fred is talking. There's five Bulls on the nearest practice court while Fred is talking to media members right before practice started today. They're just walking through some stuff. And Fred had been saying for past days, like, Zach's just been doing, you know, a little 1-on-0, 2-on-0 work, stuff like that, jumping around a little bit, unpredictable movements, but no contact. And there was no contact in this 5-on-0 stuff, running through some set plays and such. But Fred's literally talking, and he goes, yeah, he hasn't started, like, team stuff yet, like the 5-on-0, so he hasn't quite started that yet. And we're looking, and we're like, what do you call that? There's 5 guys on the court dribbling and running through plays as an assistant coach points out where to go. And Fred goes, oh, well.
That's just a walkthrough.
Yeah, actually, that's just a walkthrough. He's making good progress. Yeah, he is doing that now. Which is just like, they're encouraged by everything he's doing, basically. People.
They still, I mean, the timeline is still the same. They basically think he's going to be cleared for contact in November. So we think, you know, early December to Christmas-ish is when we can expect him back on the court.
The return. Excited for it.
Absolutely. It's the most exciting thing about the season.
55 on the first night he's back. That'd be awesome if he dropped 55. Like, they can just go out there and lose 148 to 122, and he can drop 55.
71, just beat Devin Booker.
Can we dream?
I'm with it. I'm down.
Hey, if the Bulls want a shot hunt for Zach LaVine and foul the other team late in the game of a blowout to get him 72 points.
I'm down.
I am not going to criticize him. I'm going to be like, this is rebuilding. We need entertainment. We need storylines.
We need shade.
Look.
Jimmy Butler never scored 55 points.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a great postgame.
So that Bulls officially won the trade.
But the Suns took so much heat last year for that Devin Booker thing.
But, like, what are the Suns doing with their season? Who cares?
If it makes their team feel good, a rebuilding team is it creating winning habits? No, but is there anything in the last minute of a game that you're down 12 by in Boston that's going to create a winning habit? No, probably not, you know? So, like, if it riles your team up to get them excited for a night and set a good attitude for the upcoming week, go for it, Bulls. Go hunt 72 points every night for Zach LaVine. If he blows up, got to stay in the Fred Hoiberg system for the first, 40 minutes of the game. Can't deviate. But, you know, if he's sitting on 45 with 8 minutes to go, go for it.
How does that affect your 122-point plan?
It adds a lot of credibility to my 122-point plan coming to fruition. Like, if they can give up 150 points in a night, that means they can turn around the next game and give up like 90 and still be averaging the 122-point plan almost. So that's good.
I don't think
the
Bulls are going to be averaging giving up 90 points a game at all this season.
No, that's another fun fact in game we could play. Like, what's the fewest points the Bulls give up in a game this year?
Is it going to be over or under 100?
They'll give up under 100.
A couple times. It'll be like 97 or 96.
10 times they'll give up under 100.
It'll be like in the 90s.
Yeah. I'm going to go 88 points is the fewest they allow in any game.
Okay.
You're saying like 95 is the fewest
like
they're going to
allow. 94, 95, yeah.
That's a good Vegas prop, I guess, maybe to keep an eye on. But thanks for listening. As always, you can follow Sean on Twitter at Hike and myself at Cody Westerlund. Follow Locked On Bulls on Twitter and Facebook by its name. Email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with basketball questions, advertising inquiries. Most of all, please subscribe to the podcast.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play. Anywhere else you can find podcasts, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. We'll be back with you guys soon. Thanks for listening.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.